Hello and welcome to the Zesty Garden. I'm your host, Brian Earle, and we're going to start the program off today talking about what's known as community-supported agriculture, or CSAs. And I have with me in studio Jennifer Reeve. She is the director of the USU Student Organic Farm, and they've had a CSA since about, what, 2008?
2009 was the first year we started it, yes.
So why don't you just explain what is a CSA?
All right. Well, a CSA is basically a marketing concept that links the customer directly with the farmer. And so at the beginning of the season, the farmer will advertise their shares and with maybe a list of prices or anyway come to an agreement with their customers up front on what a share of produce over the course of the growing season is going to be. And so then the consumer or the customer makes that commitment to the farmer to purchase that produce for that season. And that really, it helps share the risk, especially for small farms who are otherwise might struggle competing in the marketplace.
So one of the biggest advantages I'm seeing first is you are buying local produce. You're getting it fresh.
Right.
In many cases, you're getting it on the day that it was picked.
Exactly, yes.
Do you get a choice of what you get, or is it usually this is your particular share and you don't choose what comes in the box?
That really depends on the CSA. There's a wide variety of models, wide range of models on how exactly this works. Some CSAs will have everything prepackaged for you in a box and you don't get to choose, while others you'll sort of walk into their area and they'll have a whole range of things displayed and you might have a bag that you fill with what you like. And so, or maybe there might be a list saying you get X bunches of lettuce and X bunches of arugula, but you can choose between tomatoes and eggplant or something like that.
And maybe
really
no
depends.
More than one clamshell of strawberries.
Right.
Because everybody's going to want the strawberries, but nobody wants to necessarily get the eggplant.
Right. So. That might be the case. Right?
Okay. Yeah. So how much do you usually get in a particular, is it once a week?
Once a week is very common. And typically CSAs will provide what's known as a full share or a half share. And a full share, we like to think about it as enough produce to feed a family of 4 to 6, and a half share, 2 to 3.
Okay, so if you're single or a couple, mm-hmm. don't have any kids at home, then you can get a half share. So,
right.
'Cause that's the one thing that I do hear most often is, I don't want to do that because it's way too much produce and I can't eat it.
Right. Yeah, and often it is weight. Because the other thing that happens is in a CSA is the volume might vary with the time of year.
Okay.
Right? So early in the season, especially in Utah when it's cold and, you know, plants are growing slowly still, we might be more constrained with the size of the shares. But definitely in August and September, there's a bounty of everything. So
typically, how much does a share cost? I know it's going to be different with each one, but
right.
just on average, if you can give a range.
On average, maybe a full share, $500, $600 for maybe 20 weeks of produce, and a half share, $300.
Okay.
$350.
And is Those that paid the, up front, or do you pay monthly?
Again, that varies. Some growers like their customers to pay up front, and others have installment plans. We are the student farm. We have a two-payment plan, but we went away from the monthly payment just because it was so much work following up and trying to get the payments on a timely scale.
The credit card doesn't work.
Yes.
I understand that here.
Right.
Okay. So I can see that one of the advantages for the farmer is they're able to, if they're getting their money up front, they're not having to worry about that during the greatest time when they need to be out in the field and they're taking care of everything there is to take care of.
Exactly. One of the biggest challenges for small market gardeners is that all the work goes into growing the produce, and when it's ripe, they have no idea who else is growing it and what the competition is going to be and what the prices are going to be. Mm. And so it's a way of providing them a guaranteed market, really.
Do you know how many CSAs there are in Utah?
I don't.
There's quite a number. What about Cache Valley?
Cache Valley, there's 2 or 3, I believe, and it changes every year, but maybe more than that.
So the biggest question would be, how do you find out where the nearest CSA is to you.
Right. And you can go online. There's various websites that will list the CSAs in your local area. The farmers market, many of the vendors at the farmers market, Cache Valley Growers Market, also run CSAs, and they'll have signs up outside their booths, and some of them even have a display basket of what a typical share looks like. So the growers market's also a really good place to get to know your local growers and find out who is offering a CSA.
Now, there is csautah.org, although I'm just trying the website this morning and it wasn't working, and so that has a list. Mm-hmm. But there's also a website called localharvest.org, and if you go to localharvest.org/CSA, you can put in your town or your zip code, and it will pop up with the different CSAs in that particular area. And so CSAs, for the most part, are for profit because you're purchasing directly from the farmer. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, the farmer is trying to make a living, and so it's not a non-profit organization. It's just a way to help support local farms that have really been going out of business at a very quite alarming rate. It's hard to compete in agriculture, and I think historically, at least, we've had the attitude get big or get out, and there were a lot of people who were worried what this was doing to the farm community landscape, and were looking for different ways to connect customers to their food directly, so that less of the profit went to the middleman and the supermarket. And you also had that relationship, you know. You knew where your farm food was grown. You could maybe help out. Many CSAs will give you the opportunity to help with harvest or other activities. They might have community activities on the farm. So it really just becomes very much of a social community atmosphere around it.
If I didn't have my own garden, I would find that very advantageous to send my own children to go and work on the farm, as it were, like my parents used to be able to do. Mm-hmm. So they had that understanding and that connection with the land, with the soil, and where their food comes from.
Exactly.
It's not the grocery store. That's the middleman. It's mm-hmm. from this soil. And if you know the farmer, trust that farmer. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe you have your bot. I'm just guessing your body takes advantage of that a little bit better because it knows that you're trusting where that's coming from.
And I think there's research actually that shows that children are more likely to eat their vegetables when they feel that connection with having either helped grow it themselves or have seen the vegetables growing in the field. You know, then it becomes interesting, right? Mm. And they want to try it. So.
But we are taking questions. We're live. And if you'd like to call in with a comment or question, it's 1-800-826-1495. That's 1-800-826-1495. Or you can send us an email question. It's zestygarden@gmail.com. We have about 3 or 4 more minutes that we're going to talk about community-supported agriculture. And Dr. Jennifer Reeve is the director of the USU Student Organic Farm. And CSAs, they're becoming more and more of them. And one of the things I wondered about, are usually most of them organic, or is it again, that depends on the CSA?
Historically, CSAs were almost all organic or biodynamic, but that is changing. And now really you get a whole variety of different approaches. I think most CSAs have a commitment to farming sustainably and really trying to integrate management practices in a way that's healthy for the soil and the environment, and they may or may not be certified, or they may or may not be using 100% organic practices.
But those are questions that you can ask as you look around.
Exactly.
And CSAs are not just about produce. There are different types of CSAs.
There are different types of CSAs. Some offer fruit in addition to the vegetables. Some offer eggs or meat or flowers. And some CSAs, some farmers actually get together to to contribute produce to that basket. So the produce or the different food products might be coming from different farms.
Now, are they delivered or do you pick up? Or again, is it a little bit of both, depending on the CSA?
It really depends. Most will do a bit of both. They'll have a pickup location at the farm, but then they might have a pickup location at the farmer's market or at the local food co-op or community center, something like that.
So you use the word basket. So I need to ask you, mm-hmm. So what's the difference? I know what the difference is because mm-hmm. I've bought from this, but Bountiful Baskets mm-hmm. is available all throughout. It's been mm-hmm. expanding quite a bit.
Yes.
And you said before the program, people will say, well, how come you don't have tomatoes? Bountiful Baskets has tomatoes.
Right.
And that's because that produce is not coming from local.
Exactly. I think there's actually been a confusion about the difference between a CSA and the Bountiful Basket or other basket schemes, because the basket schemes, they're really putting together all sorts of different products from the regular food distributors, and it's a convenience thing. It's provided year-round. Well, the CSA is locally harvested fresh produce produced on that farm, you know, as it's grown. And so in Utah, for example, we don't have tomatoes in May.
Yes, this doesn't work.
Right, right.
Now, do you have high tunnels so you can start beginning your growing your produce earlier and extend the season?
We do, yes. And in fact, they've been very important for us in allowing us to start our CSA in mid-May. We could probably do it even earlier, but with the student farm, we typically let the students finish the semester, have a couple of weeks to get themselves organized. But we're growing this produce as we speak. You know, it'll be transplanted out into the hoop houses in another couple of weeks or so.
Do you ever take requests? Like people want to see a certain type of vegetable grown? Or
yes.
How do you determine what you plant?
Well, the students decide, you know, every spring semester we get together and we have planning meetings and decide what to grow. And that's partly based on our experience of what's done well in the past, or we might want to try a little something new this year if the students are excited at trying to grow kohlrabi, for example, right? But then we also will ask our CSA members from the previous season what they would like to see more of, if there was anything new they would like to try, or if there was anything they'd like to see less of.
How do you keep the deer out? Because you're in a location where there are, I mean, if I happen to be staying after the sun goes down, I have to watch as I'm driving north on 800 East as I go past the garden, because there's deer leaping through there all the time, and I see them in the winter pawing through trying to find what they can.
The deer have been our largest problem. I have driven out there in the morning and found 30 deer all standing right in the USU organic farm, which is a larger, nearly 5-acre plot, which is for research, organic research, as well as the student farm CSA. And they can be a real problem. They will take a bite out of almost every single melon if they get a chance.
And that's the other thing. They don't eat the whole thing.
No.
They just paw into it, take a couple bites, go on to the next one.
Exactly.
They don't eat everything on their plate.
No, and we tried putting up a fence, but they can be incredibly persistent. I saw a deer throwing itself repeatedly against the fence until it broke down.
Oh, my.
And so we didn't want to use barbed wire for that reason. And so our solution has been to cover everything. And so we cover all our transplants with row cover or netting of various kinds.
Well, and this brings up part of the shared risk with CSAs,
right?
Because the farmer, if you happen to have a hailstorm and lose all of your peppers for some reason,
mm-hmm.
Then everyone shares in that risk instead of just one person.
Exactly.
And if you have lots of deer, everyone shares in that risk. Do you have, when something like that happens, if you have hail, the fruit is still edible or the vegetables are still edible, mm-hmm. can you still sell them, but just at a reduced cost?
Well, we would, because we don't sell our different products individually to the CSA. They pay a bulk price for everything. If we have lots of damaged produce, we'll typically put it in a basket and have it available for people to choose if they would like.
Because we're such a visually based society, but again, having my own garden, it's like, oh, there's a couple of divots in it. It's just fine.
Yes, it makes no difference to how it tastes.
Well, I really have appreciated you coming in to talk about CSAs. Mm-hmm. Been listening to Dr. Jennifer Reeve. She is the director of USU's Student Organic Farm, and you can learn more about a community-supported agriculture or CSA by going to localharvest.org/CSA, and you can type in your city to find out the nearest CSA to you. Jennifer, thanks again for coming
in. Thank you.
We're going to have a quick break, and then we'll be back talking about Hellstrip Gardening, so stay tuned.